This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us every Tuesday afternoon at this time. You can learn more online at cvilletomorrow.org, and I want to wish you a very happy birthday. It was what, Friday or Saturday?
Friday, September 11th.
There you go.
Thank you, Cole.
Your birthday is September 11th.
It is.
My kids are December 7th, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I had some pie on my birthday.
Did y'all go out?
That's all I needed.
Did you have like the home thing with the kids, or did you go out?
We were home, but we had our pie.
What do you, before we get to the pie, what do you eat for dinner?
I just want to talk about pie.
Okay. Well, like, what, did you get to pick your meal?
I did. Gene asked me what I would want.
What does Brian Wheeler pick for his birthday dinner?
I had pork chops.
Pork chops and
yes.
Applesauce.
Pork, I did. And I have my kids hooked on the applesauce, and Jean thinks it's really disgusting.
What do you mean, hooked on
she
the
doesn't. Well, pork chops and applesauce.
Yeah.
My kids have learned those two things go together.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But Jean didn't grow up that way.
Oh, of course they go together.
So this is, you know, one of the traditions I've passed from my family.
And peas, too.
To my kids.
Peas should be on the plate as well.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Yeah, peas or lima beans or some black-eyed peas.
I think we had some asparagus.
Yeah. See, we're both from Atlanta. We grew up on that. Pork chops on a plate.
Is that a
applesauce is right
thing?
Next to it. Must be, because whenever we had pork chops, we had applesauce as well.
I'll have to ask my dad about that, because my dad grew up in New York, and I don't know if he did that in New York or if he picked it up in Atlanta. I'll have to ask him about
that. It's good stuff, though.
It is good.
And you dip the pork chops in the applesauce.
And we had leftover pork chops, and the next day I had cold pork chops and cold applesauce.
Oh,
it was,
man.
So good.
It does sound good. So your pie,
I did have pie,
you
too.
Wrapped at the meal.
Did
and
I mention that?
Gene opened
no, this
some
is
pies.
The fun part. My in-laws, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law live in our neighborhood, and they, of course, know about my pie.
Your pie thing.
Personality. And my brother-in-law, Brent, drove to Stanton.
No. Well, it's not that far, but
to get
still,
pies. Just went, to get pies.
He went to Mrs. Rouse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chocolate cream pie and apple pie came my direction.
What a good guy.
It was great. I felt so lucky. So we had I had chocolate cream pie that night, and then the next morning for breakfast, I had the apple pie. Because, I mean, it's like a Pop-Tart.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
It's just a big, fat Pop-Tart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like muffin is a cake, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I told my son. My, you know, I'm eating pie for breakfast, and my son's like, Dad, can I do that? I'm like, sure, it's just like a Pop-Tart.
Why not? It's got fruit.
Yeah.
It's good
healthy.
Stuff.
So anyway, it was good. And, you know, that makes me think about Seville Pie Fest. We need to talk about that, Coy.
Oh, my gosh. It's coming up.
It's coming up quick, and we need to keep telling bakers out there to sign up to be bakers. I looked today, and there are only 8 bakers signed up for the Seville Pie Fest, which is Saturday, October 3rd in Crozet at the
good.
Mud House.
That's not good at all. We need some more.
I think we have one pie per judge at the ratio we're going right now.
Well, we need more.
We need more. So, listeners, please spread the word.
And this is just bring in your pies, and we're going to eat them and judge them, and the winner gets what?
Right. I have no idea.
Well, I'll give them dinner to Zazu's.
There you go.
That can be a starter.
But we're 17 days away. SevillePieFest.com. You can get all the details.
Yeah, SevillePieFest.com. It's actually a very pretty website.
Coy and I are judges. David Toscano is a judge.
And the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bakers will be bringing pies. You'd like about at least twice as much as that.
I haven't. This is the first pie fest
on,
I've done.
Folks, come on. There's some
but
people
I,
out there that
I
can
think
bake a
we
pie.
Should have more.
Yeah. Maybe we should have some folks from Mrs. Rouse enter, or is that tilting it?
That's sort of outside of
that's
our...
That's like a ringer.
Yeah. I think this is more homemade pies.
Homemade.
See, now when...
Charlottesville Albemarle, you mean?
When Charlottesville Tomorrow did our pie journey around the county, we were looking for commercially available pies, right?
Yeah.
You walk into a store and say, I need a pie, but it had to be homemade. That's
right.
What we were looking for. So this, I think, is more on the home front. These are... Built, made in the home, baked in the house.
Yeah. Fresh pies. From your kitchen.
Right.
Does Jean make pies?
She does.
What's her specialty?
Oh, peach, probably peach cobbler.
Oh, that's good.
I'd say that's her specialty.
Oh, peach is good. So
she does it in a big casserole dish, you know, the big rectangular. She doesn't, you know, she could make it look like a very beautiful pie. But instead, I think just to get straight to the point.
Yeah.
Just throw it in the casserole dish, cook it quick. Let's start eating that thing.
And you also get more pie that way, too.
That's true.
Yeah. So Brian Wheeler is live in studio. He celebrated his birthday recently. Did you get any good presents? Did you get that shirt? That's
a pretty shirt. You know what my dad got me? He got me, no, this is an old shirt. My dad got me the complete set of DVDs for MASH.
Wow. The complete set.
The complete set.
Man, it was on television for like 45 years or
something. Now I have every episode of MASH.
That's awesome.
And that was the show I grew up watching with my parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And love that show.
Yeah. I grew up watching Waltons with mine.
Yeah.
It's the one show that got us all together. That and All in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
We watched
All in the Family too.
Yeah. Where should we go next?
Well,
happy birthday to you,
Thank man. You. You know, there's some candidate news on the front page of the paper, and I'm sure you guys have been talking about it on WINA, but the news that Supervisor Ken Boyd is intends to challenge Tom Perriello for the 5th District seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, that election's not till next year. You know, one of the good things about Virginia, if you think it's a good thing, is we have elections every year. And so I looked at the paper today, and it was like election 2010. And, of course, we're still trying to get through the 2009 elections. We have a lot to talk about on that front, too. But this is interesting because we have a local supervisor who is, wants to run for an office at the next level. And I think it'll be quite interesting to see how he handles himself, you know, on the board between now and whatever happens next. He obviously has to compete for the nomination.
Yeah, he's got to get the nomination first. And I guess everybody's waiting to hear. Folks in the know are waiting to hear if Robert Hurt, who's a member of the Virginia State Senate from Chatham, Southside, Virginia, if he is going to try to seek the nomination, because the insiders say that it's Robert's nomination if he wants it, but he hasn't declared. I saw him a few weeks ago and asked him point blank, are you going to run? And he said he hasn't made up his mind yet. There's a lot of people he wants to talk to, but
so
I would not be
Pennsylvania
surprised.
Pennsylvania County.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he won, and he's very popular in Southside Virginia, very popular.
Well, Mr. Boyd said he's not going to start campaigning aggressively until after this year's elections, so after November. But that said, this weekend he's having sort of campaign organizational meetings in three cities in the district. So he is getting rolling on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be quite interesting.
Now, his term on the Board of Supervisors?
Not up till the end of 2011.
So he's going to be running for another office and standing for another office he's a member of...
I haven't seen anyone comment on that in any of the news
stories.
Should
he step down from the board?
Well, I think that's a good question. My personal take would be if you got the nomination for a race that big and time-consuming, I can't see how you'd continue serving on the board.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's just my thought.
Yeah.
People could call in and tell me different.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, obviously running in a district the size of the 5th District in Virginia is a big,
huge,
big job. And this is going to be quite a competitive race.
Yeah, well, the Republicans can smell it. They want this bad. And it's a district designed for Republican.
But if I had to guess, I would say he would not make such a decision until after the nominating process is over. That said, I guess on the Democratic side for governor, didn't Brian Moran... Didn't he drop out before the nomination?
Right? Yeah,
He stepped down from his seat
late
in the General Assembly
because
he said, I want to focus on campaigning. So candidates can do it either way, depending on what they think is the right play. There's some politics involved there, but there's also workload and you don't want to let your constituents down if you're distracted by other things.
Yeah, and the precedent is there for both, stepping down before the nomination or after that primary is held. But that's definitely going to be a big primary.
But I have not seen anyone ask him that question. Maybe they have, and somebody can point that out to me. But certainly the next time I see Mr. Boyd, I'm going to ask him what his plans are on that front.
Yeah, well, we wish him luck.
So that's the Republican news in the county. We also had some Republican news in the city, which you might have heard about.
Really?
Yes, Coy.
I think that's actually very exciting.
Well, okay, there you go.
I'm a believer in strong parties on both sides of the aisle, and I don't like things that make the parties weak. And I think when the extremists run the parties, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrat, they weaken the party because it makes it less attractive to the majority of Americans who are mostly in the middle and don't necessarily ascribe to either party. So I like it when I hear Republicans are active in Charlottesville. That's great news.
Well, I don't think anyone would say the city Republican Party is in a position of strength right now, at least not on their city council representation, because they don't have any. But they did come out with a new platform. And while they don't have a candidate running for this November's election for council, they do have a platform that they've refreshed. And a couple things I thought were interesting about that, Coy. They said explicitly that they've tried to avoid some of the sort of third rail controversial issues at the national level, such as abortion, national security. But they've also avoided some of the controversial local issues like the Meadow Creek Parkway and the community water supply plan. So those are two areas they've stayed away from. They're still planning to talk about, of course. So a few of the things that they are talking about relate to education, vouchers for students to go to private schools, a suggestion that the city should abandon middle schools in favor of K through 8 schools. Let's see. They've got on here that the city should replace the city manager with an elected mayor. That would be a radically different thing in,
yeah,
in the city.
They've been after that for a long time.
Yeah, and I think some of these have been on their list for a long time. Switch to a ward-based system to elect city council. Right now, all of the city councilors are at large, so they represent the entire city. This would set up wards or precincts, which candidates would run within.
Which the minority party, the Republican Party in the city, sees as that's a way we could perhaps carve out a ward that would be mostly leaning right, and therefore you could get a seat on the council.
But of all the stories written about this, I think ours was the only one that pointed out something I think very interesting, which was they are calling for city elections to be nonpartisan.
They, the Republicans in the city of Charlotte.
The city Republicans are calling for nonpartisan elections. Now, apparently they've asked for that in the past on their platform, because I did some checking on that, but that seemed kind of surprising to me.
Why?
Because you have why would a party say we should be nonpartisan?
Do they mean that on the ballot that they don't want it to say who's the Republican and who's the Democrat? Is that what they mean?
Well, but I don't even
because that would benefit the minority party, because most people would in the city of Charlottesville walk in and just vote for the Democrat.
Well, usually when you say you want elections to be nonpartisan, you're saying you don't want the party to put people on the ballot. You're saying you want everyone to run as an independent.
Or you could be saying we don't want party ID on the ballot.
But I don't think we have that for the local races.
I have no idea.
I don't think we do.
Hmm.
So I think it's more we want everyone running as independents. And you know, I think at the local level, you could make some interesting arguments that is appropriate. At the school board level, that's how school board races are supposed to be, according to Virginia law. The parties can't put you on the ballot for school board.
We've seen
now,
that.
Parties can come by after you're eligible to be on the ballot. Parties can make endorsements after the fact.
Yeah.
And there would be nothing to stop the city Republicans from making endorsements. But to say up front, we think it should be a nonpartisan race to get on the ballot, I think is an interesting thing for a party to come out and say. I could see a group of independents calling for that.
Maybe they're just trying to dilute the power of the Democratic Party in Charlottesville, which is quite formidable.
But wouldn't you just then the answer in my mind is you run a strong Republican candidate, right?
I don't know.
You just run a strong candidate if you want to get somebody elected.
Yeah. It's challenging for that party. It's quite challenging. How do you figure out if you're a Republican in Charlottesville and you want to see Republicans on city council? It really is a mystery. I don't know how you go about doing it.
Here was the other interesting
thing.
This
was one of the most entrenched Democratic strongholds in the entire state.
One of the most prominent Republicans in the city, and you may not have thought of her this way, but Sherry Lewis, a former planning commissioner, she actually just finished up her service on the city planning commission. And it
saw her at the SPCA the other day.
She was recognized by her colleagues on the planning commission for her work at a meeting earlier this month. And the funny thing, Coy, was after they recognized her, read their proclamation, she's walking up the aisle to leave, and they're applauding. And she turns around and faces the commission and says, well, that's probably the last time someone from my party will get a round of applause like this in this room for a while. But Sherry Lewis was involved in refreshing this party platform for the city Republicans.
She should run.
So anyway.
She should absolutely run. And I've told her to her face that she should run. You know, I would like to see more Republicans running in Charlottesville.
So
I think that's
good
for the party.
Republican news. We got the county Republican news. We got the city Republican
news. There you go. Now, where are we going after this break for local news and weather?
After this break, we're going to talk about some more local political things. We're going to talk about where we are in this process for the 2009 elections related to city council and the Board of Supervisor, because we've got some interesting candidate forums coming up. We've got some things that are going to be on TV, on the internet. You're going to be involved in some of this stuff I've heard. They're going to be voter guides. And we'll also talk about water and maybe some of the big developments that have been approved recently.
Yeah, there's been a big new development approved in the city. We'll tell you about that coming up after this break here at the bottom of the hour. It's 27 minutes after 5 o'clock. This is Charlottesville Right Now. A classic moment from Caddyshack, one of your favorites, I assume. Is it?
It's okay. I don't know why I didn't get hooked on that movie. I think I missed it when it first came out.
Man, it was so good. That's a funny movie. Bill Murray also made another funny movie that nobody ever talks about, Meatballs. You remember that?
Yeah,
he was a camp counselor.
I like that one.
That was very funny. It's 37 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. It's about 85 degrees. I hope you're having a great Tuesday afternoon. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. We're talking growth and development, as we are wont to do on Tuesday afternoons. Richard's waiting very patiently on line one, holding through the break. Richard, you're on with Brian Wheeler. You go right ahead. Richard. Oop, I think we lost him. Caller. Hey, this is WINA.
Yes, I was trying to talk with Coy. My name is Richard.
Hey, Richard, there you are. You go right ahead. Sorry we lost you.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, Coy?
Yep.
I was wondering, you have Brian Wheeler there, and he's done an in-depth report on the community water plan. It's a six-part report.
Yes.
If you're doing a feature study, this is a question for Coy, would you find it appropriate to call the party on which you're reporting or have a discussion or a debate with any member of that party?
So what are you suggesting?
Well, nobody from the Citizens for Sustainable Water have been contacted in the process of Brian turning out his six-part report. And I'm wondering how that can be a balanced report when one side doesn't get any time to talk with the reporter.
Time to talk with me or with Brian?
Well, I was going to ask you, as a reporter, is that a proper process? And then I was going to ask Brian if he has, in fact, had a conversation with anyone from the Citizens for Sustainable Water.
Well, we can ask Brian that, but as far as me, don't criticize me now. You're going to hurt my feelings.
I'm not criticizing.
We have the folks from a Sustainable Water Supply Plan folks on all the time, and they also call in. As a matter of fact, I would expect a call from Betty in this half hour. Brian, I guess there's another question in there for you.
Richard, thanks for the question. You know, one of the reasons I've not had to interview Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan is they are so omnipresent on this issue. So, Coy, as you know, one of the things we do is cover the public meetings where the water supply plan is discussed. And Richard, you and your colleagues certainly make your views and information readily available. So that's made it easy. I've certainly visited your website and taken advantage of that.
But some of the facts you're reporting haven't been vetted, and I would take issue with some of those facts. And I suspect in the course of this program, you'll have the opportunity to vet some of the facts you have reported.
Well, and we certainly welcome any and all feedback on anything that you think is a fact that should be questioned. So we make that opportunity available both here on the radio, but also on the website.
And let's start. Why don't we start talking about it so we have an opportunity? Richard, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's start talking about it so we have an opportunity for folks to weigh in on said issue. Richard references, of course, the series that Charlottesville Tomorrow has been putting out online dealing with the water supply plan, which critics have said is advocating for the 50-year water supply plan and is not unbiased, but is advocating for the plan. Your response.
Who has said that?
the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply group.
Okay. You can certainly check out this series of publications. We're through five of the six-part story, and this is at seavilletomorrow.org/water. But Charlottesville Tomorrow has never taken a position on the 50-year plan or components of it. Our job is to provide the best information that we can collect and gather from public sources, from folks like Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, from the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, from these public meetings, and from interviews that we do and other research. So our job, Coy, is to present information, but at the opportunities that we have had to tell people to take action, and by taking action, we mean going to meetings and making their opinions known. We've not told them which plan to support, because that's not our role in the community.
Right. So the latest issue deals with what topic?
The latest issue talks about water supply alternatives. We hear a lot of questions about the current approved 50-year water plan, which, as you know, envisions a new dam at the Ragged Mountain Reservoir and a new pipeline connecting it to the South Fork Ravana Reservoir, and a number of other things, water treatment facility upgrades and stuff like that. So one of the key issues, I think, for this plan is to assess what the alternatives are. One of the things we did in this most recent issue, Coy, was go in depth on Mayor Norris's alternative, which has been what I would describe as the most, if you think about who are the heavy hitters on the community water supply that are elected officials, Dave Norris is certainly near the top of the list, because the questions he has been asking and the things he has been saying the city needs to move forward with any water supply plan, I think have really been driving the public discussion. So when Mayor Norris in February came out with a collection of recommendations that I call the Norris Plan, and I told him I was calling it that, and he thought that was fine. And recently we did interview Dave Norris and ask him if he had changed his mind about any of his recommendations from February, and he stood behind it. So this issue is an in-depth look at what Dave Norris is proposing be looked at.
There you go. And let's go to the phones. Betty is on line one. Betty, with the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. Betty, you go right ahead.
Hi, Coy and Brian. First, I want to wish Brian a happy birthday.
Thank you, Betty.
And lots of good pie coming up.
I hope so.
Well, Brian and I have had on the air with Coy listening several conversations about this. And what I'd like to do today is not dispute any of the factual information that Brian or the assumptions he's making in his writing or with me when he talks on the air to anyone else. What I'd like to do is explain, when I read what he's writing and when I listen to what he says when he's writing, what I hear and what I read. And what I hear and what I read is that Brian is trying to convince the community through his writing and through his on-air comments that this new dam and this pipeline really are the best plan for the community, and that many people have looked at it, and that we have permits, the city and the county have voted on it, and that it really is risky and probably expensive to relook at it, and we really shouldn't do that. That really what the community should do is to proceed and believe that things will work out. Don't worry about what it costs, because in the latest issue it says things in process, you don't know what they cost. Just have faith and build the new dam, and then you'll eventually have to build a new pipeline and just go forward. And then I believe in his writing and his comments. It's subtle, but it's clever, and I think, Brian, you know, you and I'd love to be on the air with Coy and debate with you if you'd agree. I think that you have in a very astute way done this, and I think if you would not believe me, you should ask Coy or other independent journalists such as who are following it. There aren't a lot of independent journalists that know as much as you and I at this point, but there's some. There's Coy Barefoot, there's Rob Schilling, there's Chris Callahan, there's Hawes Spencer, and from my conversations with them, they all agree with me that you are in fact advocating that this community should not relook at the water plan, that we've done plenty of looking at it by plenty of people. But I want you to remember when you say in this current issue that it's been voted on by the city and the county and that many people have been involved. Number one, I have FOIA'd the attendance records from those meetings. They were overwhelmingly staffed from Havana, the Nature Conservancy, the Mormons River people, the Piedmont Environmental Council. Very, very few ratepayers were represented. Kevin Lynch tried to represent them. He was pushed back. I read all the minutes. And the three of the people that voted for that plan on City Council say they were duped. Kendra Hamilton, Kevin Lynch, Rob Schilling, they now say they would not have voted for that plan. I think the community deserves better information. Our group has never, which you subtly try to make this point in your recent issue, that we're against growth. I have never, on the air or in writing, nor has it ever, ever come up at our meetings that we are against growth. We have nothing to say about that. That is in the comprehensive plan of the city and the county. We do not take a position. We are only looking at what the population estimates are. We are not trying to redo those. So please do not say that anymore, that we are trying to limit growth. We are not. We want to represent the ratepayers. We want the costs looked at. We want better information. And we want you to perhaps someday ask these other journalists what they hear you're saying if you don't believe me. So that's my comment for the day.
There you go. Betty, thank you for the call. And before you go, Betty has point blank asked you if you would go on the air with her on this program. Is that something that
you'd be happy to, Coy?
Well, then we'll have to set that up.
Thank you, because I would like to then go into the assumptions Brian's making and the presentation he's making, which I feel are many of them are wrong. And this community deserves better information and not biased. I understand. Brian has worked for years on this plan. I do not discredit him for wanting to go forward with this plan, but I want him to be able to admit to himself what he is doing. I think he has blinders on. I do not have anything bad to say about Brian Wheeler. I admire you unbelievably, but I feel on this particular issue, only this issue, you're in denial. So we need to talk.
There you go. And we will schedule that. We'll schedule that and have you in studio with Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
We will do that. Betty, thank you for the call. There's Betty, and we got a line open at 977-1070. Want to give you ample opportunity now to respond to her.
Sounds like we need a group therapy session. No, seriously, I do appreciate Betty's feedback. And, you know, she has been an activist opposed to the water plan for a long time. So I know her opinions. I've heard her speak at many, many community meetings, and I know she feels very strongly about this.
Yeah.
One of the things I'll tell you, Coy, is that no member of Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan has sent me any response to any of our publications saying, this fact is wrong.
So you would welcome some type of written...
We ask for it.
Letter to the editor kind of thing.
We ask for it. With this publication, when you go to that page, seavilletomorrow.org/water, there's a big box there that says, please give us comments. D.D. Smith and I have been on the radio. D.D.'s another member of that group. We've been on the radio off the air. She said to me, Brian, I've got some real concerns. There's some facts I think you missed. And I said, well, please tell me what they are. And up to this point, Coy, we haven't gotten any feedback that we missed a fact. Now, the interpretation of the presentation, that's certainly up to different people will come to their own conclusions about that. But my hope is that it will be hard to argue with the facts that we've presented. And then I think the important thing for the community to do is come up with their own conclusions about it. Where do we go next? I mean, that is going to be our next issue. Where do we go as a community to have a safe and sufficient water supply? And I think we have some big public policy decisions. And again, Betty may feel like we have a position on the water plan. We don't. And we haven't taken a position on these alternatives. But this is the only place I think you will see the Dave Norris alternative fleshed out and described and have that information presented. So again, we're trying to add to the conversation here. We had this period, Coy, where We're waiting on more information on dredging. We're waiting on more engineering work to be done on the Ragged Mountain Dam. So we have several months here where I think this conversation is really important. For the community to come to a good understanding about where we are at this juncture, because that will inform what step we take next as a community. Charlottesville Tomorrow is never going to tell you what that step is, but my job, as I see it, Coy, is to make sure that people understand the different paths you might take from this point.
Brian, what about Betty's criticism that in this process that the ratepayers haven't been sufficiently represented and weren't sufficiently at the table? You know, she said the developers and the Nature Conservancy and, the water board, these folks were at the table crafting this plan, not enough input from the ratepayers who are going to pay for the plan. That's her criticism. Would you agree with that?
I think hindsight's 20/20. I mean, if you look back, you could say for any number of big projects, did we get a representative sample of the population there? Albemarle Place, one of the biggest projects approved in Albemarle County, the size of two downtown malls. And that development had like two people at the public hearing. There are public hearings that may be less or better attended. I was at a lot of the meetings in 2005 when I started following this closely, and there were a lot of people in the room. Now, they may not have been the people Betty thinks would have been best positioned to provide input on this as far as being a ratepayer or not.
Yeah.
Because that is who's going to pay for the plan as it unfolds.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Dee Dee is on line one. Dee Dee, you're on with Brian. Go right ahead.
Hey. Hi, Brian. Hi, Coy. How are you? Since my name was invoked.
Yes, we were talking about you.
I'd like to ask Brian because I have had criticisms, and you and I have talked about them. We've talked about them on the radio. What it is certainly my impression that Charlottesville Tomorrow won't correct any inaccuracies. And so if I do send my criticisms, what are you going to do?
if we have a fact wrong, we will correct it immediately.
Will you? Is that true? Okay, good.
Sure.
Well, I've got a lot to correct. In this latest issue, I have two questions. Actually, I have several questions, but I'm going to stick to two. You cite in the extensive public process that led to the plan's approval, the community, in effect, accepted the following assumptions, and then you go on to list, I believe there's nine. The very first one is wrong. Actually, the assumption is wrong. Now, you can argue that the public had to accept this.
What is the first assumption? Brian's got it right in front of him.
We need to plan for 50 years. That's actually inaccurate. There is a state mandate coming up in 2011 that municipalities have to plan for 30 years. And a minimum of 30, maximum of 50. But there was never a mandate that we had to.
So there's no law that says we need a 50-year water supply plan.
No, we do not need a 50-year. And that came up. And, Brian, I think you have noted in the past that the very first meeting that you went, public meeting you went to, I spoke. So I was actually at a lot of these meetings. And I think a lot of these assumptions, actually, I don't certainly recall that we had to accept them. And the second one actually is even more
Dee Dee, I think going back to the 50-year one, I think when I say in effect, that's what happened. What I mean is the City Council and the Board of Supervisors said we want a 50-year water plan, and that's what they voted on.
You're absolutely right, we need a 50-year water plan. And I disagree with that. I actually disagree that was an assumption that the community had to buy into. And I was there as you were there.
Yep.
And most of these assumptions are, in fact, wrong assumptions. And you might have been clever in saying, well, in effect, the community bought into them,
right,
but they are, in fact, erroneous.
Well, and these may not be facts that we can agree that you will point out to me, and I'll say, oh, yeah, we got it wrong there. In the case of the 50-year one, I think we'd be on pretty strong ground saying that's what ended up happening. I hear what you're saying, Dee Dee, that there were other options available, but that's not the path the elected officials chose at the time.
Well, you go on to say at the end of the list that eliminating or reconsidering any one of these assumptions opens up all sorts of new options. Yet the premise of the thesis of the whole issue is re-looking at this water plan is going to be expensive, it's going to be dangerous, it's going to, you know, not be a good idea. And in fact, most of the assumptions, according to your own, you know, your own statement, actually say we should relook at this water plan. But anyway, I do have a second question about the
real
issue,
quick.
And that is,
only got about a minute left. Go right ahead.
Okay. You cite twice about the technical panel of experts, and you cite that they had, and you put in quotes, significant concerns about the existing Ragged Mountain Dam, and then you go on to say that one expert said something else. Could you cite your reference for that? Because I feel like I've read all the materials and I never saw it.
We interviewed one of the panel members, Dee Dee.
Do you have it in writing?
That was a verbal interview, and then I have in writing from Tom Frederick his assessment of the panel's evaluation of the research about what was called at the time the Mayo's Rock Dam. So this is a 1913 report that that the panel of experts did look at. You could certainly, I'll be glad to share it with you. It's a public document.
But this was not part of the official report from the dam experts. I would really actually appreciate you sharing that information because it sounds like it's hearsay to me.
Dee Dee, thank you for the call. I'm going to have to run. We're just out of time, and I appreciate it. Great call. And, Brian, thank you. I've got 30 seconds if you want it. Any response at all?
Again, Charlottesville Tomorrow welcomes the public's input on this. We've just heard from three folks who have been heavily involved in Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan. Again, this is a big topic in front of the entire community in the city and the county. SeavilleTomorrow.org/water. You can take a look at what we've put together.
There you go. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. It's SeavilleTomorrow.org. A break for CBS News, local news, and weather. Stay tuned for Best Seat in the House.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.